Smash or FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
What's everybody? It's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoastEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning into my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative on all your guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you today if you're into cool indie films as well as great actresses. We have my lovely dear friend, actress, producer, writer of Dweeb Darlings, the production company, as well as the award-winning film Chasing Fletcher Allen. My dear friend Heidi Cox coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple little plugs again. If you want to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our lovely guest of the hour, Heidi Cox, check out our Facebook page over at StarRoastEntertainment.tv. That's STAUROS Entertainment. And also, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.StarRoastEntertainment.tv. That's www.StaUROSEntertainment.tv. And if you also like the music that we're going to be playing on the show, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And then last but not least, if you really, really want to hit me up on socials, you could hit me up on Tyrone Tan over on Twitter at T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. And then over on Instagram, Tyrone Tan Official. Thanks to the hacker there, Tyrone Tan Official. And then last but not least, if you really, really want on Facebook, hit me up over on Facebook at Tyrone Tan. So without further ado, we want to say, first off, thank you to all the guest co-hosts that have been coming under the studio. The guest co-host that was going to be on today, we want to wish him luck. He was that he actually booked the project, and so he's not here. And I do want to say thank you to all the lovely guest co-hosts that have been coming in to rotate. I'm so grateful and appreciative on all you guys, and we're going to be coming back and bringing back some more guest co-hosts. But without that, we want to, further ado, we're going to do a quick movie review before I bring in the guest of the hour. So, and normally I will be chatting this up with my guest co-host, but, this is, like I said, I'm probably going to maybe want to talk about the kind of movies with this lovely guest, because she's also a kind of a movie guru. But I'm going to be talking about a cool movie that I just got to see. It's called Snake Eyes. I don't know if anyone that really knows me out there well enough, but I am a big, I grew up watching G.I. Joe, and I'm a big G.I. Joe fan, along with Star Wars and a lot of that stuff. But, I got to check out Snake Eyes. And, so here's my little quick review before we bring on a guest of the hour. So thanks to IMDb, here's their little quick synopsis. Again, Snake Eyes, rated PG-13, Henry Golding as Snake Eyes, and directed by Robert Schwentke. I do apologize if I'm mispronouncing, but here's the little quick synopsis, thanks to IMDb. A G.I. Joe spinoff centered around the character of Snake Eyes. That's a little quick synopsis over there on IMDb. But I went to check it out, and I personally, I loved the movie. That's a saying because I'm a G.I. Joe fan, because I wasn't the biggest fan of the first two. I did like the other two, but there was something about the first two that came out. I just, maybe because I grew up watching the animated series, and it didn't seem to, I don't know, correlate as much as it would have. I don't know if it's the outfits or whatever it was, but I mean, I love the actors involved. I did enjoy the other two, but this one particularly, number one, Snake Eyes was always, it was one of my fave characters. Scarlet is actually my favorite, so I liked the way they had put her in this movie. But Snake Eyes was always, like, obviously a fan favorite for a lot of people. But I liked the story. What I did like, it kept me, how I could judge sometimes on a movie if I really liked it is if I tend to either get up to go to the restroom or not. And I did not go to the restroom at all because I was just holding it in, so to speak, because I didn't want to miss the story. There was a very interesting story. I liked that, you know, that was number one. There was a lot of action and I loved the actors involved. Who I really not, you know, I thought Henry Golding did really good, but I also thought who was really awesome was Andrew Koji, who played Storm Shadow. I haven't got to see his work before, and this is the first time I ever really got to pay attention to it, and I really liked him as Storm Shadow. But other than that, everyone else is really, really good. I mean, the cast was really great. So I think, you know, it's out there in the theaters. Check it out. It's called Snake Eyes. You know, it's the G.I. Joe, you know, one of the origin movies, but it's out there in the theaters. And, you know, I want to promote it because I think it's a cool thing. I'm hoping for it to, you know, more out of the franchise, you know, to come. I mean, we're hoping, you know, it all depends on how this does. Again, so it's in Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe Origins. It's out there. So check that out in theaters. And yeah. That's what I say. I say I highly recommend it. Yeah, and that's personally, I highly recommend. So, again, it's directed by, again, Robert Schwenke, and then starring Henry Golding as Snake Eyes. So, without further ado, we are going to be bringing in my guest of the hour. And, again, normally my guest co-host, I'll kind of talk about how we arranged a way to make the guest of the hour to make them feel special. But so this one I already kind of arranged because this particular person, I've met her on the red carpets. I've been doing a lot of interviews through the years, and she has been one of those lovely, dear people that has always been nice from day one. And we've, you know, kept in touch ever since. And again, she's a frequent guest on the red carpets that I get to, you know, see her at. And she's one of the, I mean, there's a lot, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great people that I am blessed to become friends with, you know, on the media circuit. And she is one of them. But she's also an humble person, a sweet person, a beautiful soul inside and out, and a lovely, dear person, which is why, you know, she's on the show today, because I like having people that that I respect. And, you know, that I just admire as people and human beings. And so we're going to be having my dear friend. She's an actress. She's a producer. She's also a writer. She's an award-winning filmmaker coming into the studio. We're going to talk about her career. So I'm just going to, you know, bring her in the traditional way, because a lot of times we bring people in on Millennium Falcons, you know, hang gliders, limos. But this particular person, I think, like I said, she's... someone I think we should bring in somewhat special. You know, she's like a little princess. So I thought we would bring her in like on a carriage, like a Cinderella carriage. So without further ado, and again, my guest co-host would normally kind of cue me in on this one, but I'm just going to be kind of bring her in myself. So I'm going to cue in the carriage that we have outside, and she's out there with the fans already. So here we go. On the count of three, I'm just going to whistle in on the horses on the count of three. One, two, and three. Here she comes into the studio. On the carriage. Oh my gosh. Here's on the horses. Here she goes. Oh, she's stopping. All these people throwing roses at her. She's waving at them. Oh, she's stopping for selfies. There we go. Oh, she's signing some autographs. Here she comes on the carriage into the studio. Here she is. She's an actress. She's a writer. She's a producer. She's an award-winning filmmaker from the new film Chasing Fletcher Allen, which just stomped over at the film festivals recently. Here she is, my dear friend, actress, writer, producer, Miss Heidi Cox. Welcome, Heidi Cox, to StarOsEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Welcome, Heidi Cox.
Hi. I don't know what to say. That was quite a welcome. Thank you.
Well, wow. We had to pull out. We could not. We had to pull out, you know, all the stops for you. So, again. Oh, we got some people throwing roses out there. I think someone's like trying to flash their phone numbers or anything. I don't know if they're taken or not, but again, I don't know, guys. But yeah, well, you can leave the numbers over there.
Absolutely not necessary. Thank you very much.
Well, again,
horses. So,
yes. Well, we had to arrange something for like a princess. You're like a little princess.
I'm honored.
So again, we got actress, writer, producer of the production company Dweeb Darlings and the award-winning film Chasing Fletcher Allen. My dear friend Heidi Cox, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been we've been kind of working on trying to get you in here for a while, and we've been kind of going back and forth. We had COVID happening, and through the years, I know we kind of, it's one of those things where we always say, yeah, well, you should come on the studio and that kind of thing. And I always, you know, like I said, you're a frequent guest over on the carpets, but there's a difference. We get on the carpets, it's always, it gets a little chaotic.
It's a little lot
going on. And here's a time we could kind of have a little bit time to kind of relax and get more deeper into your life.
I like when you use the dramatic voice.
Oh, the dramatic voice.
I like your setup here. You've got quite a space.
Well, I appreciate it. We had to pull all the stops for you.
Yes.
You
know, so. Thank you for the carriage ride. I had no idea that there'd be music with it.
So. Oh well. Well, Heidi, again, we have so much to talk about. But again, for those that don't know, again, you are an actress, writer, producer, award-winning filmmaker.
Isn't that great, though?
Yeah,
exactly. So
a great title to have, which could carry on throughout your career. But I don't know if you know, but we do start off with a very hard-hitting question.
Okay.
So I don't know if your people told you this, but we like to start off with this hard-hitting question. So forgive me if you didn't know or get prepped, but here it is. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you born and raised?
Ooh, that's easy. I can tell you that.
Okay.
Well, I guess I was born in Anderson, South Carolina. I grew up in Clemson and Greenville, South Carolina, because we were in Clemson, but like that's where the university is. Some people have heard of it, I'm sure. But it was a really small town. There were no hospitals, so you had to drive to Anderson to have your baby. So there you go. I'm from the Southeast.
Know growing up that you always wanted to be in showbiz, become an actress or producer or writer? Or did you know growing up?
I did not know that I wanted to be a producer or a writer, but I knew that I really liked performing a lot. Oh. I feel like I did it before I even started taking dance lessons, but that was my intro. It was like, you know, I was 3 or 4 and I started taking ballet and I really loved that. And I seemed to pick up on it pretty quickly. And, you know, it took a few years. I was pretty shy. So, like, to get into the acting, I don't think I really started really acting until high school.
Okay. So when you were younger, was there any inspirations into acting, or was it even a thought? Was it like one of those things where you watch someone on TV and you're like, I think I could do that? Or really did that epiphany happen till you got into high school?
No, when I was little, it was just that I was in the Southeast, and at the time there wasn't a lot of film production there. There was some theater, but my mom and my dad, nobody in my family really knew how to get me involved in that, and I was super shy, so I didn't push for it. But I really wanted to do, you know, camera stuff.
Yeah.
And I can remember being, I used to watch reruns of Family Ties. And I remember one time I memorized all the lines of Tina Yather's character Jennifer for one episode, and I performed it for my grandparents, you know, while we played, like I played the episode, and I did like this whole performance.
Wow. So, what was that episode? Because I was a fan of that show.
You know what, I don't remember completely, but I do remember that, like, I think Mallory made a casserole and she put a cup of pepper in it. That's the part I remember. There was like a joke in the beginning where like everyone goes to eat it and then they're like, ha. Like,
but it's funny because so you memorized like pretty much a scene, like you could do it verbatim, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I memorized the entire episode.
Well, because I used to do that too. There was a show called Silver Spoons I grew up with. And there was an episode that with Jason Bateman in it was in. It was like the second episode. And that's what I think what inspired me. What'd you say?
Another Bateman. You got Justine and Jason.
True. And so I remember verbatim memorizing almost that episode. I remember I remember that the door opens, Ricky Schroeder opens up, and Jason Bateman walks in. He's with the father. Mm-hmm. He's just telling Ricky that I just found your old friend, and then Ricky's like, oh my gosh, not Derek Taylor, Derek. Yeah. And then he's like, Mr. Stratton, I presume. What an honor it is to meet you, sir. Richard, you're certainly looking well. Now that I could, that's your father, I could see where you've gotten your rugged good looks. And then you see, and then it's this whole thing, but I don't want to take that away from you.
No, I'm impressed by how you still remember.
No, because that was literally, I memorized that episode over and over. I used to watch it like on VHS. But that was like Ricky Schroeder. Those guys were like the people that I kind of looked up to. Yeah. Henry Thomas from E.T. Mm-hmm. That were like kind of, that age bracket that I was like, oh, they could do it. And it kind of reminded me of yourself when you said that you memorized like Tina Yuther's show or Family Ties, and it made me go wow, because you that's when I started, I think, got the itch. Mm-hmm. And then I had a crush on I had a crush on Aaron Gray.
Okay. Who played, different person.
But I had a crush on Aaron Gray who was on I know what you're talking about.
Talking about that China Beach thing.
I had a crush on Aaron Gray on that show. And then ironically, years later when I started producing, I get a call, my production company, and it was Aaron Gray, and she wanted to be in my film. She was in my movie, Social Misfits. It's weird because I was like, she wanted to originally come in to audition. And I was like, wait, is this Aaron Gray? I grew up watching you, Buck Rogers, Silver Spoons. So next thing you know, we're doing scenes together. And that's where I just thought this industry is so magical,
It really is. I did a play. What is that? I guess it was, because 2020 feels like it didn't exist. But it was like 3 years ago now, I guess. But I did a play at the Whitefire Theater in Sherman Oaks with Keith Coogan.
Keith.
And I watched him in Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I consider him a friend. Yeah. And the guy, my friend Michael Coppolo, I became good friends with him before I realized that he was one of the dudes in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. He was one of the best.
Yeah.
One of his friends.
My dear friend who's no longer with us, Christopher Pettit, mm-hmm. was in Don't Tell Mom. He was the younger brother of Keith Coogan. He was a guy, and I know Keith. Good guy, but
such a good guy.
Chris Pettit, who was the blonde kid, mm-hmm. in that movie, and unfortunately just no longer here. But
that's so sad.
But I guess the whole the point of this is that we have this industry could be trippy. You could be watching somebody, and which goes back to my original question: who was it? Tina Yuther's, and is there anyone else that inspired you?
Well, you know who else inspired me. I loved Soleil Moon Frye. I love Punky Brewster.
Okay, that's right. We were talking about this. And then she is a dear one of my longtime dearest friends. And if Soleil, if you're listening to this, Heidi Cox, she actually does sincerely like you in the sense of admires you
and friendliest possible.
Yeah, and so hopefully you guys could meet one day. And so maybe
her documentary was very powerful.
Kid 90. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was grateful that she shared that with us.
Yeah, you know what? It was interesting because, I remember she contacted me about that a while back, way before she was starting that, because she was. I had a lot of home video footage and that she remembered that I did, and I couldn't find it. I had shoe boxes and they were all unlabeled on these little mini DVs, and by the time I found them, she was like, "I'm already done with it."
Oh, no.
But my point is that I didn't even know when she was doing that, when she started that, how beautiful it was going to turn out. I mean, you see documentaries all the time, and not to say I I don't think it wasn't not going to do good. It was interesting because, I was part of that time period.
Yeah.
And then to see a lot of friends on there, mm-hmm. and as well in her talk, I was so proud of her, and I, reached out to her about it and saying just how beautiful she did. And She you could tell such a growth that she had, mm-hmm. from that whole journey, and again being a small part of her life, so to speak, and being part of a lot of that, I just thought she just did a really good job, and that documentary meant a lot more, not because it's just a dear friend, but also just because that was my period of growing up, and that's interesting in how that was something that you related to, or you know.
Yeah, I loved Punky Brewster, and I mean, I watched the cartoon too, but it just wasn't the same.
Yeah, what was it about what was it about Soleil Moonfry or Punky Brewster itself that you connected to? Was it the age bracket? Was it just a girl on TV because there was?
I think it was probably the age bracket. I mean, and she's this quirky, fun kid who you know, and you just kind of want to be like her. And like, I remember she was different than the other kids, which I liked, I think. I mean, in hindsight, back then, I don't know. I was just like, Punky Brewster is awesome, you know. But yeah, I looked up to her. This is when I was really young. But, you know, and then there's just been different people throughout my life that have inspired me. And I think I'm mostly inspired to perform because there's this something inside of me that needs to express itself. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about because you're also a performer and you have to get it out. And if you don't get it out, I don't know, you'll explode. It'll metastasize. Who knows, you know? And
so what you said, so you let's say you watched someone like Soleil, but you said you did not start till you got into high school.
Yeah.
Why was it just you didn't start because, as you said, there was not really opportunities, or was it just you didn't really get the nerve to do it?
It was a little bit of both. I mean, I was really shy. I mean, I grew up in a unique situation. Maybe not that unique. I'm sure there's people that could relate to me. But my parents weren't together, and one side of my family was pretty supportive, even keel. On the other side, there was some abusive stuff happening, and like, you know, and so I was kind of taught to. And also, I'm a girl, so we were kind of taught to make ourselves small.
Gotcha.
And it was. You know, and this is not like a bash on evangelical, because I grew up evangelical. But if you're already in a situation like that, sometimes the teachings can kind of get interpreted incorrectly in your mind, and making yourself smaller. You know, all that stuff about be kind to your enemies.
Gotcha.
And all that, you could end up getting taken advantage of really easily. So I was pretty shy. I started about the time I was in high school was when I started to learn how to kind of have a little bit of a voice, but I was still there was stuff going on in Atlanta, but I didn't know about it. My mother, that wasn't something, she was a single mom raising my sister and me, and so it wasn't something that she was really checking out. I guess she just kind of expected if there was something I wanted to do that I would let her know. So I went about it my own way. I've always been kind of a late bloomer, but I sang, I did musical theater.
So then you got into theater in high school. Then when was the point, was it after high school, that you said, I'm going to take this seriously. I probably got to move out to L.A. Mm. What was that point?
So I went to college and got a degree in social work.
But really?
Wow. Yeah, yeah. And I still use that degree to this day. But I did all the theater I could possibly do when I was in college.
Yeah.
And that's where I learned a lot. And there's still, now I think the school I went to, Harding University, there's a film program there now, but there wasn't back then. And then I came home and I was like, well, I guess I'll get a grown-up job. Yeah. And I tried to do that for a little bit. I think I was in a relationship for a little bit. I got engaged to this guy. I was super young.
Wow.
It was good. It didn't work out at all. Everything worked out the way that it should. And when he, like, during the time that we were together, I started working. I was doing theater, but I was also doing this like kind of a child protective services type job. But I was doing like community theater and then auditioning for films that I heard about. And I got a job with a theater in Greenville, South Carolina. It was called the Greenville Little Theater. And now I think they just call it the Greenville Theater. And I was in their company for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then when my fiance and I split, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to go to LA.
Yeah.
And I should just do it. I'm going to do it. And I had already come out. I came out for like a 2-week workshop.
Yeah.
A few years before that, just to kind of see what it was like.
Correct.
And it was, it was inspiring. I think it was good for me to move so far away because it gave me like a means of being able to see and really start to think about like, what do I think about things? How do I feel about things? What do I believe? All of these different things. So
you get out to LA. What was the first kind of project you did or got that you were like, okay, I think I'm going to be fine here. This is what I'm really going to do. I'm not going to go back home. This is, you know, was that one film, one project, TV show, commercial, whatever it was, that just said to you, you know, made you say, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do.
Oh, you know, that's such a good question.
For the rest of my, you know, life here.
You know, I think I just really liked that there were so many young people and artists here that were single. That was also a big deal because everyone's getting married back in the South. Right. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that. But I mean, I booked the first commercial I booked here. It was a self-submission, non-union, and I had to put a box over my head. So.
Okay.
So I was like, I think they liked my dress. That's the thing. Like, for people who are listening that try to figure out like how casting works, none of us know. It's never, you never know what the deal is. But they liked my dress and they liked that I could hit my marks with the box over my head. So I booked it. That's, you know,
that's awesome.
And they wanted me to wear my dress, but I don't know if there was like really a project that made me go, I'm gonna stay. There was just this drive. But then I did get distracted. There were some things that I had to work out, like personally, with myself. I ended up in a relationship with a very abusive person.
Oh, wow.
Which is kind of textbook when you think about like, my background. And so that was about 6 years of this sort of making myself even smaller and not knowing what happened to my voice. And I didn't really start to feel like I had my own sense of self until I decided to create Dweeb Darlings and start writing my web series, or whatever you want to call it, limited, I don't know, it's not a limited series, it's a short form comedic series called Stalking LeVar.
Okay.
And so I just started making that as like a funny sketch with my friend who had been doing improv in Chicago for years, and she'd moved out here.
Talk about, let's talk about that. Tell the audience a little bit about that before we go to a music break, about what that film project was, because it's an interesting title, Stalking LeVar. In my head, who I'm thinking is LeVar Burton?
Yeah.
Okay, as in from Star Trek and Reading Rainbow?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell the audience a little bit, because I thought it was a...
So he's just, he's not in it. I'm not going to like make you think that he's in it so that you'll go watch or whatever, but like watch it if you want. It's on YouTube right now. I started making it in 2013 with my friend Megan Green, and that's when we founded Dweeb Darlings, which I wanted, you know, our tagline is women can be anything.
Okay.
So we want to try to push like women narrative and like female fronted content and things like that. And so it was just originally it was just this funny sketch about these two girls that were a little bit off that like felt like LeVar Burton was their best friend because we grew up watching him in Reading Rainbow, and I love Star Trek. Love Star Trek. And so I just thought it would be funny if these two girls were trying to find a way to run into him at like his favorite coffee place, but instead of sitting at like a table, they're hiding behind like the stairwell. It also kind of brought forward a little bit of like social issues, you know, and stuff like that, because in the first episode, there's a guy who walks by. He looks nothing like LeVar Burton at all. He's but he's African-American. And so we're like, hey, LeVar, because he's carrying some books. So it's just to kind of show how blind sometimes people can be as well when they're not paying attention and with their own pathologies and stuff like that. So I kind of wanted to speak to that, too, and in a funny way.
Yeah. Well, now, was your goal maybe when you wrote it to maybe, oh, maybe we'll get him to be in it? Or was it like, well, you're going to do it regardless if you...
I was going to do it regardless. But I liked him. I thought, I have met him. I know him now.
Okay, okay.
And it's because of that.
Like, oh, wow, okay.
It's definitely because of Stalking LeVar, so it...
That's crazy.
I mean, there was a time we were going to try to work together, incorporate it, but it just didn't work out.
Like, correct.
Yeah. But we had talked about it, and he's so lovely and sweet and patient with my weirdness. And
what was his impression when he actually saw it, or did he watch it? And then
he laughed. I mean, you'd have to ask him.
Okay.
He was very gracious.
And it was LeVar.
No, he shared it on Twitter.
Oh, that's awesome.
When it first came out. And and then when I met him in person, someone introduced me and said, this is Heidi. She created Stalking LeVar. And he was like, oh, yeah. And he hugged me and like we talked for a
bit. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
But that's kind of cool, though, like you said, kind of full circle in a way where, you know, even if you mentor not to have met them. But when those things happen, I think it's always fascinating.
Yeah. No, and it really was with him. And like I've met Will Wheaton through him. And like that's trippy to me, too, because like I had crushed on him when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Sorry, Will, if you hear this. We're cool now. Don't worry. But But yeah, it's really trippy. And the funny thing about the show, though, is that it's not really about LeVar. It's about my character trying to figure out who she is and why she does what she does. And gotcha. it becomes kind of a dramedy.
Okay.
As you keep watching.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to cut to a music break. And I don't know if you want to do these honors since my guest co-host is gone for the day. Do you want to introduce the song?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to give you something. Here we go.
Okay. What am I supposed to do? All right.
So we're going to give you a shot to see how you could introduce this song.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So and then we'll be back more here with Heidi Cox, actress, producer, writer, and award-winning filmmaker of the film that we're going to be talking about, Chasing Fletcher Allen, as we come back. And really quickly, you have social medias, websites, anything like that?
I do, okay. Yeah. So at Dweeb Darlings and at Ms. M.S. Heidi Cox, you can pretty much find me.
So Dweeb Darlings is D-W-E-E-B mm-hmm. and then D-A-R-L-I-N-G-S, correct?
Yes.
At Dweeb Darlings mm-hmm. and or...
At Ms. Heidi Cox.
Ms. as in M-I?
No, just M-S. M-S-H-E-I-D-I-C-O-X. Okay. Someone took my Heidi
Oh, really?
Cox.
Okay.
Yeah.
So well, let's see how you do introducing this song. And we'll be back more here with actress, producer, writer, award-winning filmmaker, Heidi Cox. And she's gonna do the honors of introducing this song.
This is California by Alexander James Rodriguez.
Oh, there you go. You got the little Coast 103 kind of
totally.
The voice thing. And we'll be back here with. Yes. Now, okay, so I love actually the people over at Coast 103. You know, that's one of those the stations where you could just, and Ellen K and, mm-hmm. you know, you could just, they're soft, soothing voices.
Soft, soothing.
Anyways.
Could be an NPR voice, yeah. too.
But let's do that one more time.
Okay, this is California by Alexander James Rodriguez.
All right, we'll be back more here with Heidi Cox. Again, here is California with my boy. Alexander James Rodriguez, and we'll be right back.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Sun is out and the waves are high. It never rains, so we always shine. Like a dream and we live it every day. Grab our boards and we're feeling good. In Venice Beach where we're understood. The water's warm and the vibes are great today. Yeah, yeah. Cause this life's a party. Like a scene from the movies. Everybody's famous from Malibu to LA. This is California, hey, hey, hey. Where you can get. The beautiful girls, NYC has the diamonds and pearls, but in LA it's the best of both worlds, yeah, 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 cause this life's a party, like a scene from the movies, everybody's famous, from Malibu to LA, this is California, hey, 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 where you can get
everybody wants.
All right. That was California by Alexander James Rodriguez. Let me know what you think of that song. Again, you check him out. Check out Alexander James Rodriguez over on the socials. A lot of people are loving that song. And you'll see a bunch of Twitter videos that are going on with people dancing to that song. It's kind of cool. He was a guest on the show. I always like to help promote him. And I also like to plug, he's a dear friend. And his mom, who I also totally love and adore as well, Liz Rodriguez. Check them out. Again, it's Alexander James Rodriguez. The song is California. And then check them out over there in the social media world and also Spotify and stuff like that. And we are back here. What did you think of that song, Heidi?
It was really fun.
Fun song.
Yeah, he's talented.
Yeah, cool. And he's a cool guest. And he's one of those down-to-earth, just humble kids, you know. And again, so we're back here with my guest of the hour, my dear friend. She's an actress, producer, writer, and award-winning filmmaker from the award-winning film Chasing Fletcher Allen, as well as Stalking LeVar. We are back here with my dear friend Heidi Cox. Welcome back.
Thanks.
So cool. So we got to talk about how, you know, where you started, where you began, how you got inspired by, like, actually one of my dear friends, Soleil Moonfry from Punky Brewster, and then also Tina Yothers from Family Ties. And then you moved out here to L.A., and then you started a series called Stalking LeVar, and then what you actually got to meet LeVar Burton down the line.
And then
you got into... got into more filmmaking. Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to get into, like, go into filmmaking versus just stick to just acting?
I needed material. Mm-hmm. And you know what it's like when you're an actor. Sometimes you're not getting out as much as you hope. You're not booking the stuff that you're hoping for. And you need to feed that outlet somehow. And so I finally had an idea, and that was Stalking LeVar. I just thought it would be funny. And I knew enough people that had cameras and equipment and things like that by then, because I'd been working at, like, a post-production company, and I've had a few different jobs, and I'd met all these different people. But, it actually came from the fact that I had a commercial agent who was like, well, we could send you out for this, but you're not really quirky. And I was like, what? Like, have we met? So I wrote something to show, like, what I could do, and that was how it all started.
Wow. So you went from Stalking LeVar, and then you started, then you have this award-winning film, Chasing Fletcher Allen. Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to do this particular project?
The Chasing Fletcher Allen?
Yeah.
It was kind of born of Stalking LeVar. I mean, you can kind of tell with the title a little bit. But originally, that was what it was going to be. It was going to be this sort of wrap-up of the series, you know? Mm. And then it became its own entity. You know, originally, we were going to have LeVar involved. And then, like I said, things didn't quite work out. And so we wrote together, Jonathan London, my partner in life.
What's up, Jonathan London?
My partner in life, but also in this...
Yeah, let's talk about, tell the audience a little bit what the story is and then go into detail about it.
About the film?
Or,
So it's also about a woman who's trying to find her way through things and find her voice. And she's dealing with some things that she knows that she's dealing with some of them, and she's unconscious of a lot of it, but she's grieving, like she's feeling abandoned. She's feeling like she's not enough. And what I like to tell people is that it's a film about that moment when this woman in particular, but I feel like it happens to all of us, where we discover that we've had everything we've needed all along, you know, and how she gets there to that place. And it stars Phil LaMarr as Fletcher Allen, who he's the guy from Pulp Fiction who gets shot in the backseat.
Good guy. I've interviewed him. Nice guy. He's also a very prominent voiceover actor as well.
Yes, tons of voice. That was the next thing I was going to say. Like Samurai Jack, I think, is one of his zillions of characters. Really gracious guy. Yuri Lowenthal is also in it. He's Spider-Man from the Spider-Man. I don't remember which PS4 game.
Gotcha.
He's Peter Parker and Spider-Man, and then Jenny Van Dien, who's married to Casper, mm-hmm. who's a friend of yours, right? So she's in it. Cooper Barnes from Henry Danger. I mean, they're all our friends. It's super fun, and it's a short film. It's 18 minutes long, and we've we've done okay with it.
Because you want, yeah. Well, you're speaking to, and sorry to interrupt, because you're talking about Jonathan London, mm-hmm. and then you're going to go into something. I just wanted the audience to get to know what the story was before you.
Jonathan and I created. We took the concept of LeVar Burton, what we were originally going to use, and because he wasn't available and it just like things didn't work out, we created a character that was based on him and Mr. Rogers and like a little bit of Sesame Street, like, and we just kind of took in, it was like everything wonderful and lovely from your childhood, you know, and yeah. we created this guy named Fletcher Allen who was on a sci-fi show and had a kids show, so very similar. And that way, though, the cool part was that we could shoot that footage of those fake shows, which we did at Funko Studios, because they have a spaceship set, they have a green screen, they have all kinds of stuff there. And my friend Fawn Davis, who also co-produced with us, he was our other partner that came mm-hmm. in, one of my dearest friends and someone that you should meet if you've never met him.
What's his name?
Fawn Davis.
Okay.
Very talented.
Awesome.
Very talented. Worked for Industrial Light and Magic for years and still does some. He's a really great model maker, but
that's awesome.
He can do everything. And he owns a studio in Glendale called Funko Studios.
Okay. Not Funko. Okay.
Fawn. F-O-N.
Okay. Awesome.
C-O. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then, so you did this film and then you did it, you mentioned, with your partner, so to speak. And mm-hmm. did you have hesitancy because you guys are together? Like, oh, maybe you guys may not creatively, you know, you guys might, you guys creatively might have, get some clashes in there, or did you think long and hard about it?
We didn't. If he was here, he would say, we're never partnering on anything ever again. That's exactly what he would say. He would, and he'd tell some joke, but it's kind of true. I mean, I think it'd be better in the future. I want to keep working with him, but I think it's better that, like, I have a short that I'm wanting to make about domestic violence that I would love for him to come in on, but I guess technically I would be the boss. And he has a film, a feature that he's trying to get done. I would love to work for him and support him in that. It's kind of like, what is it, Chris Rock says, sometimes you got to play the tambourine.
Gotcha.
You know, yeah. In a partnership. So it was really a weird one for us because we did, Jonathan and I have been together about 5 years, not quite, but it was off and on for a really long time.
Yeah.
And in the middle of making the film, there was some off and on happening, and that was tough. It made it difficult.
Wow.
And then we both are very vocal. I used to be a shy kid, but now I know exactly what I want when I'm making something. And
correct.
And he does too. And sometimes it's just the communication, isn't it? You know, communication is so important,
correct.
Tyrone.
You
know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to communicate. Because sometimes I'm saying one thing and he thinks that I'm saying something completely different. You
gotcha.
Know? And it's really, we are on the same page, but we gotcha. Don't realize
no,
it.
No, I hear you.
But in the end, it all turned out.
No, that's at the end. And then the end of the day, you guys are still together mm-hmm. and you guys are still talking.
We're so happy. Like, the only thing, the funny part, I'm dropping like bottle caps over here from my water. The only thing that we fight about, it seems like, is our short. Like,
wow, that's what.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but other than that, we're
well, because I think that could be just because you're both passionate artists and you guys have, you know, if you guys, you know, have a vision, both have different visions.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you guys both wrote it together. So I guess you guys are, you know.
Well, I always have to jump in and be like, I wrote it first. I wrote like 8 drafts first. Then he came in, you know. But he definitely added a much needed like punch up and like rework to the script that I wanted in it. Like, there's some characters that he created himself, that this character played by Jack Siever McDonald, mm-hmm. who's currently on Never Have I Ever. He plays this character named Orcon that Jonathan created, and Damien Poitier plays this character named Rattlesnake Rick, who's a pro wrestler that Jonathan created too. And these people I did not have in there, but they actually provide this really nice these comedic notes, because technically it's a comedy.
Yeah.
People watch it and they say, "Oh, I was moved. I teared up a little bit," but they're also laughing.
Because you just came back from a film festival where it won several awards, correct?
It won. It, I So I was nominated for Best Actress at the Reedy Reels Film Festival in Greenville, South Carolina, which, if you remember, that's my hometown. Yeah. So, which was really nice. It was people that didn't know me either, so I felt I felt really honored. And then we won Best Short Film that festival, which was lovely. And we won at the Lady Filmmakers Festival in Beverly Hills. That was an online festival because of COVID.
Correct.
But we won Best Comedy Short, and Phil Lamar won Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I got a nomination there too for actress. But just, yeah, it's been humbling and lovely, but it was really, really exciting to show it in person.
Correct. Oh yeah.
And in Greenville, and like people were laughing, and you never know when you make something.
Correct. Right. Yeah. And what was that film festival? One more time.
Reedy Reels.
Reedy.
Yeah, because there's something called the Reedy River that runs through downtown Greenville. So the Reedy Reels Film Festival in Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah.
So that was where your hometown was.
Yeah.
So was your family able to go see you do your stuff?
And my mom. This is the funny part. My mom had to miss it because she wrote a. She's recently had an epic fantasy series.
Wow. So she's a writer.
Of novels published, and she was at some convention, but she came on awards night. But my stepfather, my niece, my nephew, and then all of my theater friends,
oh wow,
they came to our screening, and it was really, really great.
So was that was this the first time you collaborated with your boy?
Yeah, you can say boyfriend. Okay. That works.
I don't know.
I didn't know. I was friends with him for a while. Uh-huh. And didn't know he was a director.
Oh, really? What did you think he was?
I knew he hosted Geekscape. He has a podcast called Geekscape.
Okay.
But we weren't super, super close at that point. And if I had realized he was a director, I would have had him direct an episode of Stalking LeVar, because technically I was the showrunner of that series. So I would bring in different directors, and you know, we'd work on the episodes that I had written. But because I didn't know that, I got to talking to him in like 2016 going, oh, I wish I'd had you direct, but I don't know what I want to do with this show. And he goes, why don't you make a short to wrap it up? And I was like, that's a great idea. Cut to now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how do people check this out? How can people check out Stalking LeVar, Chasing Fletcher Allen?
Okay, so Stalking LeVar is on YouTube, the Dweeb Darlings YouTube channel. It's also on the Dweeb Darlings Facebook page. There's also a Stalking LeVar Facebook page that the episodes are on. Chasing Fletcher Allen is in festivals right now. So
festival circuit.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So if you are able to make it to a festival, like if you follow us on social media, you'll get updates about that. Right now, I don't know of any screenings coming up yet, but we're waiting to hear back from some things. We're trying to do one more little pass on our audio mix.
Gotcha.
Too. So, but we do have a trailer. We have two trailers on the Dweeb Darlings YouTube page and on all our socials and stuff. So you can kind of see what it's about.
So again, it's called Chasing Fletcher Allen. It's out there in the festival circuit, making its way, hopefully winning more awards. And wow, we're already time is up. We had like 2 minutes left. I know it goes so by quick. People. So this show is ultimately about inspiring others. And you've given such great words of wisdom before on the red carpets, but now here on the show.
Oh.
What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there that wants to do what you do, maybe be an actress, producer, writer, or just follow their dreams in general?
I mean, what is it that I've said before? I've said my favorite thing to say is to surround yourself with people who already love you, mm-hmm. instead of the ones that you think should love you, because we can get kind of hung up on that, because you're already valuable. And I guess what I would say is you're enough, and that you should, your authentic voice is important, and you need to get it out there. And there will be haters for sure, but you have to try to find a way to look past that and just know and be confident in who you are. And it's something I'm working on every day.
No, I kind of agree. I had a mentor told me a similar phrase, which is surround yourself with people that celebrate you, not just tolerate you.
Yes.
And because there is a difference, mm-hmm. you know, people that just tolerate you, but when they celebrate you, they're actually genuinely happy, not feel competitive or anything like that. But it's a great, great words of wisdom. Well, Heidi Cox, it was a pleasure. I know time went by quick.
It did.
And so again, from Dweeb Darlings, which is her production company, mm-hmm. correct? And then you can check out her YouTube page. That's Dweeb Darlings' YouTube page. Again, that's D-W-E-E-B as in boy, and then Darlings, D-A-R-L-I-N-G-S. And then the films that she's got award-winning film, Chasing Fletcher Allen, and then she's got the series Stalking LeVar. Mm-hmm. And then anything else coming up that you, anything you're getting ready to maybe work on or
yeah there's a, like I said, there's a domestic violence short. It's gonna be a little more dramatic than the comedy that I just made, but then I'm hoping to get off the ground pretty soon before the end of the year. And there was a sci-fi film that I want to make, but I need Fawn and Funko, and like, yeah. because of COVID and correct, everything correct. it was kind of pushed back, but it is going to happen.
Okay.
So.
Well, cool. Maybe come back, promote that down the line. And then, so one more time, your social media is one more time.
Okay. At Dweeb Darlings and at Ms. M.S. Heidi Cox, H-E-I-D-I-C-O-X.
Awesome. Well, Heidi, again, pleasure having you on finally here. You know, you have a, you're always welcome back. It was great to see you again. And it was interesting because we got to see, we used to see each other often on the carpets and then again, and now it's kind of like, well, it's coming back. I think things are coming back, but you've always been a pleasure, always a dear sweetheart. And I wish you nothing but the best with your projects and then also what you do, but also just you as a human being. I definitely think you deserve as much success as possible. And so I just want to say thank you. God bless you all and all that you do. And then thank you guys for always tuning in. I appreciate you guys all. And and I always like to end off my show. Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.